charged into space, changing the life of one hapless duck and transforming him into a hero called Wonder Duck.
Good morning. What's up, George? What's going on the Morning Brew today?
Good morning. Buenos dias. Today we're going to be talking about Pitt, Greg Capullo, Conan, conventions, confidence. There's so much to talk about this morning. We're coming up right now.
Oh, let's get it. Where are you? Better way to start the day than winning a cup of Joe and an episode of Catch the Craze. What's up, Georgie?
What's going on, Doug? Welcome, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to another episode of the Morning Brew with the Crazy Crew. We are here chilling, hanging out. We're going to be talking about a few things today. But before we get started, please subscribe, hit the like button, comment below, hit the bell. Make sure that you are always notified when we're going live on Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. or 6 a.m. in the West Coast. What's up, Whitney? How you doing?
Yes, we're doing well. We're doing well.
Yes. Hope you've been well as well. Here we are, my friend. Another dollar.
Face to face, a couple of silver spoons. Open a fire for two of a kind. Remember that?
That I remember. But yeah, brother. Oh my God, we have so much to talk about. We're team no sleep right now.
I know. It's what you know. It's funny. The freaking lawnmower guys woke me up at 6:45. They never hit till 9. Then we hit 6:45. I'm like, man.
That's that.
Then I woke up to this guy flying by the house. I'm like,
oh snap! Look at that guy. Are you painting that?
I will be painting it when I get back from the expo. Not right now.
Give yourself the screen. Let's see that in
Look at this. Look at my little bugger. Where are you? Just for you, duty to Darius Uranus.
Look at those eyes. Big old eyes. That was cool. I even had the emblem on the center there.
Right? Yeah, he's got the dude, the Darius.
And then
the one that I started with from the get-go, Samurai Duty.
Boom. Oh yeah, that's awesome. It's funny. So for those who don't know, obviously, we're comic book creators. We have our own properties that we do. Sam's got a comic book called There's an Alien in My Toilet. And, I have a campaign going live on Kickstarter called The Adventures of Wonder Duck. But so those are the images that you're showing. And so I'm lettering the book for Duty. And I came up on that scene where he comes out as a samurai. And that's in issue number 2, for those who don't know. But yeah, it's cool, man. It's cool to see that, and I can't wait to see that in color because that's gonna be dope. I'm excited.
For those who don't know, in a few days I'll be on a plane to the expo. So licensing expo, booth D104. Shout out to Christian Alawas, who's gonna be out there. And so we're probably gonna meet up for lunch or dinner. And then to my boys out there, they're gonna meet me at there. Paul and Muscles from Brussels. His name is Claude. It's like Sean Claude Van Damme. He's just got muscles upon muscles and stuff, So so we're gonna be out there for the week. It's gonna be cool. I just shipped out all the stuff for the booth. So it'll be there Friday and they'll deliver it to the booths when I get there. So I'm excited about that. And then when we get back, we'll be launching the campaign for There's an Alien in My Toilet. I See Red People, issue number 2. So I'm excited about that. This one's even, this one, there's even more. So if you liked the activities in the book, there's a full activity book separate. So every comic has 4 pages of activities, but I also have on this campaign a full activity book, 24 pages of puzzles and mazes and trivia questions and how to draw duty characters. So it's really good fun for entertainment for everybody, especially the kids. And there's also a young reader's a picture book, Duty's Adventures. It's Duty as a child growing up on his planet Uranus, And so that's gonna be fun. And he goes up against the diabolical egomaniac Overlord Nemesis Poo Poo. Plus, I introduce Trading Card Volume 2. So that's gonna be due. So there's a lot in this campaign. I'm excited about it. So, you know, I'm hoping that all the adults out there who are too cool for school, if you have kids, if your neighbors have kids, your family have kids, please refer this project to them and recommend it to them. The more people that talk about duty, the easier it is for me to pitch to the big boys, because my goal is really just to make duty a household name, and I can't do it without you guys. So I appreciate everybody who signed up and who backed the first campaign. And if you're coming back for the second one, remember, if you back the first one physically, you're going to get this magnet for free, refrigerator magnet for free, if you back physically the second one as well. And if you didn't back the first one, but you backed Wonder Duck and you come back and back issue number 2 of Disney Under My Toilet, you'll still get this as well. So there's an incentive for Wonder Duck fans and duty fans.
Yeah. And make sure you join us live on May 31st. May 31st. Well, make sure you join us
live on May 31st. Shots fired.
Yeah, hold on a second. Put her in the back. We're gonna give her the full. We're gonna give her some time. No, but just really important, because I want to make sure that people are aware that we're going live May 31st. So if you subscribe to the channel, make sure you're live May 31st at 7:30 p.m. We're going live to launch the campaign for this Internet in My Toilet Part 2, and at 8 o'clock is gonna go live. So we go live. At 7:30, you know, we'll do our thing. And then at 8 o'clock, Sam's going to hit the button and we're going to be live. Yeah. So make sure you tune in for that. Now, what was the war criminal over here saying?
The war criminal. She's saying, you're
forgetting. Yeah, this is what happens. She said, yo, almost till midnight. I was up late last night talking to JD Calderon on Indie Comics Explained.
2 hours. Good Lord. What are you talking about?
Well, no, you know, by the show started at 10:30. Now, it just started at 10:30. We were on there till 11:30, and then, you know, by the time
afterwards, yeah,
you know, the after
the stuff that you never stay for, which is funny, you know, it's usually that, yeah, at that 1 hour mark, you're like,
but it was cool because, you know, we were talking about just, you know, Kickstarters. I mean, listen, JD Calderon, big shout out to him, he's been doing Kickstarters forever,
he's had
so many, and yeah, we have a whole series of interviews with him. If you guys check out the channel, check out in the archives, we spoke to him. There's like a 4-part series on the steps to take for Kickstarter, which would be very, very educational. People who are interested in putting a Kickstarter together, break it down.
Yes.
The earth tilted of its axis, headed towards the sun. Blame George.
Yeah, you said break it down. I thought Kevin, that's Tevin Campbell.
Break it down.
Break it down.
The song that I remember from Campbell is
hear the sound. Remember that? Oh,
wow. The song that I remember from is "Come and what is it? Come and talk to me."
Yeah, that's not him.
Which yes, isn't it? Come and talk to me.
No, can we talk?
Can we talk?
Yeah, come and talk to me. I think is that Jodeci. Come and talk to me. Yes, I really want to meet.
Sing it.
And Tevin Campbell. Can we talk? Oh, two different things.
Thank you. Wow, look at that.
You know me. You can't
get them notes. Notes.
Even in the morning, I'm ready. Music trivia. But No. I don't know what the hell we were talking about.
Kickstarters. Kickstarters. Speaking of Kickstarters, if you haven't done so yet, and Sam was talking about it, the campaign for this for the Adventures of Wonder Duck is live right now. Getting close to that 100 backer mark. Yeah, the 100 backer mark is getting there. We're getting there. End of 4,000. This is the book here. So make sure you go on there. It's a kid's. It's kid friendly. It's a kid's book. On a kid's book, I think of like, you know, single images. It's a comic book for kids. So make sure you go in there and check it out. You know, we're trying to really just start, you know, introducing kids to comics again. And not that they haven't, but I feel like kids don't read comics as much as we used to back in the day.
It's Instagram, TikTok, and gaming.
Video games.
That's it.
Video games. Know,
what's up? Good morning.
What up, Jerry? How are you? So that's what's going on our end over here. You know, we have a couple of Kickstarters, you know, and things like that. Sammy's going to the licensing expo, which leads me to our first, I guess, bit of news. And this is stuff you probably already know, but, you know, we're going to discuss it because, you know, this is what we're doing this morning. Conan.
Yeah.
for our Conan fans out there. Conan is leaving Marvel.
Yeah.
The history of Conan with Marvel is very extensive, man. You had said that, right, Sam? You picked up Conan when it was being published by Marvel, what, in the 80s?
That's what got me into Conan was the Marvel version. And then not only that, but also remember the Conan magazine size?
Yeah.
I still have I think I still have about 8 of those.
Right.
You know, yeah. So the magazine size Conan, you know, but yeah, that's what it was during it when I first got introduced to comics. It was through Spinner Racks, and it was G.I. Joe and Sergeant Rock. And then once I saw when I started seeing Conan on the shelves, I started picking it up. So I must have picked up about 75 issues of Conan.
Yeah, wow, yeah. Because listen, so Marvel published Conan stories for much of the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and then the license shifted to Dark Horse, and Dark Horse started publishing the comic for about 10 years, about a decade or so. Then Marvel got the license back in 2019, but now they decided that they're not going to renew the license. They're gonna let it, you know, just expire and
let it go.
And the company that actually owns or the property belongs to a company called Conan Properties International. Yeah. And that's an entity that is owned and operated by Heroic Signatures, which is a company that deals exclusively in licensing intellectual properties. So they're thinking that they're probably going to start their own publishing, company, or they're going to publish the books themselves, the Conan books. So Conan is not going to go away. It's just not going to be print. It's just not going to be published through those guys. What's this? By time, well, TBH. Disney will hold them back and they can expand and get really dark with it.
Well, so, yeah, that's an interesting statement that you just made, because George and I were talking off the air about this, because I think what made, you know, they failed on every aspect with every version of Conan outside of the Schwarzenegger Conans. And I think what made those Conans so popular, number one, was he seemed like a big lug. He fit the era. He fit that time.
He was a barbarian.
Barbarian. Yeah. You know, all the Conans today, they sound like us. You know, they sound like they went to school. You know what I'm saying? They speak. They haven't really embraced. You need a method actor. You need someone who's gonna really get into the character in that time space and really understand the mentality. This guy's not. He wasn't the brightest, but he was. He was almost like street smart. He had barbarian smarts. Right. You know what I'm saying? He knew how to survive in that area. He knew how to, he had traumatic experience as a child. And he says, that's never going to happen again. I'm never going to be weak again. I'm never going to let something hurt my family again. You know what I'm saying? And it just worked. All the Conans today, they want these pretty boys and it just doesn't sound right. They don't sound like they fit into space. It just, none of it makes sense. And everything, they're just trying to force and try to recreate the magic, and you got to move on from it and try something different.
Yeah, no, it's true, man. I think that when you're casting like
this, Joaquin Phoenix, she crazy.
Wait, what'd she say?
She said you want Joaquin Phoenix to play Conan. So Krista, good comment. My belief,
good comment, Chris.
Good, Mo, my belief is, like, look at what Mel Gibson did in Braveheart, right? He was a strong man with a loving side, who, because of circumstances, became who he became. That's Conan, right? So you need someone that's got that brutish mentality, but also that soft side, and you know that they'll do anything to survive. And it's like you gotta get an actor that's gonna understand the role that they're playing. These guys that they've casted the last few Conans, they just didn't. They were just collecting a check, and they were just working out.
I have to watch the movie again. It's been so long. And now I don't know if it's nostalgia that made me like this movie, or is it because it is a good movie? I haven't seen it in so long, dude. Like, I really haven't. But yeah, it's time. I think it's time that they were able to do something different. And like, and to Crystal's point, you know, they could probably get darker, you know?
Yeah, not The Rock.
Guess The Rock as base.
The Rock, you know, leave it at the, what is it, the Prince of Egypt? No, what was it? What was the role that he did?
Which one? The
Mummy?
Yeah, it was that Mummy?
The Scorpion King. Yeah, that's the extent of where The Rock should remain. But for
actually, Conan, I think he might be able to do that, bro.
I don't know.
He might be.
Because Rock was gonna, he'll add the comedic aspect to it.
No, but no, I mean, listen, he's got Black Adam coming out. We'll see how he does in that movie. Yeah. Scorpion King. Yep. We'll see how he does in that. But I think The Rock could.
What about the guy who does Thor? What about the guy who plays Thor?
Well,
Hercules. Rock did the Hercules. Yes. Hercules.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Look, listen, I think you definitely need to be a big dude. You can't be, you know, just like Crystal said, you are Joaquin Phoenix. But like, you definitely need a dude, you know, like, I don't know. Could Momoa do it?
Jason Momoa.
Could he do it?
No, because didn't he do? What did he just do that was like it was that themed era?
He's got a show on Apple TV Plus called C, where it's like a group of.
No, people. I think Hainsworth, whatever his name, the one who plays Thor, I think he could pull it off.
I don't know.
He has that dumb brute. Type.
No, I know. I mean, he's a good actor. I just think that he's got the, you know, like he's got the gold locks and stuff like that. You need like somebody that looks a little more exotic, I think, to play that character. He's in that series C. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one I was talking about. Method actor. He's one of the best. Elbow cut.
Again. Good thing that it's off of Disney's hands, yes, because I think you need a fresh start. And I think the licensing company that they posted or they put out a press thing saying if you're an artist writer and you have ideas for Conan, pitch it to us.
They want to start. Let's see what happens, man. Let's see what happens. But speaking of brute force, Pitt is up next. Sammy, what you got on Pitt? Pitt?
Yeah, do you guys remember the Pit? Where you is?
Yeah,
so Del Keon is bringing back the Pit, baby. Come on. I think I have every issue of the Pit. I had the crossover with the Hulk.
Look at that face, bro.
It's too much.
Too much of a baby face to pull it off. You need someone who really. Yeah, that's what I mean. He's got
baby face. You got the cutest looking baby face. All right, so he's bringing it back. Former Marvel and Incredible Hulk artist is bringing back his monstrous creation that was first published 30 years ago. Yo, get the walkers out, George. Yo, get the walkers out.
Wow.
Why'd you have to put the 30 out there, bro? Just say years ago.
You could have skipped that one, though. Jesus. Yeah, need that fun fact. God, 30 years. Good Lord.
For the longest time. Whoa.
Good Lord.
All right, so Del Keon's now bringing up Pitt along with Phil Diaz. Wow. That's pretty dope. Let's see. Tweeted last night, Del Keon announced that he'll be writing the next Pitt series with him for the big comeback. This was on the DL for 8 months.
And the DL, the phrase DL.
Yeah, so I mean, who's not excited about bringing back the Pit?
93, bro. Jeez.
93.
Number one, November 1993. Dude, that was like the heyday of like of Image back then.
That was a bad time for me too.
Yeah, that was a bad time.
Yeah, 93 was not a good year. But damn.
So the book ended in 95. So it published 20 issues of the series and it ended in 95. You have all 20?
I have every issue of the Pit.
I have. George doesn't need the walker to come out. It's right next to him. Shh. Crystal, stop it. But yeah, no, 95, 20 issues. I got number one because I think everybody has number one if you were in that era in the 90s. So I definitely have number one. I don't have the rest of them, but then look at that, bro.
Look at that, bro. That's me and me when I was young.
Word,
that's what you think, like, you know, yeah, you that was a strapping new lad.
strapping young lad. Oh yeah,
morning,
Arles. What's going on?
The coloring and the art is just. I mean, if you looked at his pencils, I mean, you don't need to color over his pencils. His pencils are legit, and then the colors, yeah, bro, just compliment the work. It's just fantastic. I'm excited about this. Dale Keown is part of Comics Gate. And we got quiet. I don't know anything about. So I don't have enough.
I don't have no knowledge. It's early. It's too early. Yes. It's 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, but that, I mean, I wonder if he's going to launch it on Kickstarter. I wonder. Well, how's he doing it? Or is it going to be through Image? I don't know.
Yeah, good question. I mean, if he launches on Kickstarter, I'm sure that thing will get funded in like minutes.
Yeah.
Is that so? Yeah, man, this looks interesting. Do they say anything about what the story, where they're going with the story?
It says, to be clear, Comics Gate is not a comic book publisher, but it is a movement or term to describe like-minded comic book creators and fans that are fed up with how DC Comics and Marvel Comics and other publishers ruin characters in the industry. So much like Image Comics back in the days, these comic book creators have decided to do it themselves and are publishing their own books, mostly through Indiegogo and Kickstarter. Okay.
All right,
there it is.
So maybe...
So, see, I didn't know. I'm ignorant about the whole thing. So, I'm not a collective kind of guy. You know, you don't see me joining any movement. So when I see stuff like that, I'm like, what is it? So I'm excited about that. I can't wait to see what it's like. I'm definitely going to pick it up, just to have it in my collection. Since I have the only thing I never had, let me get out of there. The only thing I never had was the Pit figure.
Who made the figure?
I don't remember.
Was before McFarlane had his toy line, right? I'm sure if that's coming out, he may want to get the license on that. I think Todd just came out with Doom figures. I think he's got like a Doom figure that he's actually just came out with, like the original skin. I mean, if you guys played the Doom game.
Hold on. First, I don't even know who did. It was Toy Biz Legendary Comeback Heroes series. Oh, wait, they're going to bring it back. First of all, look at this image right here, bro. it's too much. Look at that.
Damn.
Yo, that's all me, G. That's all me. What?
Chains and everything, huh?
That's all me.
Yo, what was the Pit about, bro? I had the first issue. I never opened it.
I got to read it again. It's a kid. It's like he protects the kid, which I think the kid morphs into it. Look at that price.
Oh, easy.
You take crazy? Easy. That's not all me.
Oh, hello, mate.
Sorry. You know, see, the problem is I have a chicken account and a savings account.
Yo, beep.
You just lost me.
Back that up, son.
Oh, bro, you'll stay in the pit. You'll stay in the pit.
Holy cow.
$200. Good Lord.
Good Lord. That's a lot of money.
That's a whole lot of cheddar.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'd
rather be grilled cheese.
Image Comics has a comic book called I Hate This Place Number One.
Yeah.
Image is coming up with a lot of these like titles with just totally outside the box as far as, you know,
that's the whole thing. I think what happens is the publishers are fighting the publishers are fighting to get motion picture deals, series deals. So they're looking for what they think Hollywood's looking for. And that's what's like the theme the past couple of years, where they're looking at out-of-the-box thinking projects to try to secure. And that's what do you think all these motion picture houses are scooping up publishers? You know, there's a fight to try to get as many IPs as possible in their roster.
Yeah, well, Mark Millard, I mean, he's like his whole world, Mark Millard world or whatever, is owned or is in dealings with Netflix for all his shows. Horror in the West. So this guy's trying to emulate a funnier version of Junji Ito. Yo, Crystal's a big, big manga and anime fan. So she knows her stuff about the about that world. She says these titles. I'm like, yeah, I don't know who that is. But
just damn Westerners,
yeah, just damn Westerners. They don't know about that East.
They don't know
the beast in the East. But So Pit's coming out, and they don't have a release date, right? They just say it's coming soon.
Yeah, it's coming.
It's coming, man. And then what you got? Something about Greg Capullo you were telling me about this morning. For those fans out there,
the Spornies fans, for the Sporny, he's a man. If he can't do it, no one can. Greg Capullo is coming up. I got onto Greg Capullo because of Spawn. But he's done a lot more than that. I'm just, very narrow sighted when it comes to Spawn. But yeah. So he's working with Scott Snyder. They're doing We Have Demons. And number one, let's see. I just love his art style. When he did Sam and Twitch and he did Spawn, it was just like, what the hell?
Yeah, his detail. His
crazy.
Brand, it's freaking nuts, bro. Yeah.
I'm trying to look to see if there is a release date.
Was that through Image also? I didn't see the logo.
Berserk. It's through Comixology Originals.
Oh, it's a Comixology
special. Yeah, they're doing it independently, I guess.
Yeah, big names though. Snyder, Capullo. These aren't small time names here.
Let's see. I don't know the premise, but
what is this?
Yeah, so the pencil is Greg Capullo, writer Scott Snyder, inker is Jonathan Glappy. 6 out of 10. Ooh, that's no bueno.
He's like 6 out of 10. Ooh.
Ooh. So, basically what it says is that it doesn't matter if you had a big name, you still got to put in the work because they're going to be people that are going to be out there that are not going to appeal to it. So, March 22nd, look at you. Oh, it came out already. Oh, look. See, look at that. I just saw it. I said, let's talk about it. So it came out March. Yeah. So obviously it's not getting good. 6 out of 10. That's not, you want to be above 7.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man. Everybody.
I love to see the interior art, though. Ripped. See, I'm just an art fan. So I really, when it comes to specific artists.
After story. I want the art.
And it sucked to the highest.
Damn, Chris.
It's Dominic. She said,
"Damn!" But see, that's a classic case. That's a classic case of the art will sell you the first issue. The story should sell you the rest. But if the story's trash, you're done.
Yes, do you think that's a good question? You just brought something up. A lot of these artists that are coming back, right? They came from that era where no one cared about the story. They wanted the art. Right, the art was everything. Image, all splash pages and dynamic, and the characters are flying off the page. Yeah. All this other stuff. That's what carried them through the 90s. Do you think some of those have adjusted to today, or they're still banking on their art's going to sell the book, forgetting about how important the story is?
I heard that. What's his name? Your boy. You love him. What's his name? He was one of the Marvel originals. The Image originals.
Rob Liefeld.
Rob. Yeah, I heard he's either writing or doing something currently. And I don't know. I think a lot of these artists, they hey, I got a fan base. Let me just put something out there and I'm sure it'll hit. But you do have to have a story, man. You have to have a good, compelling because the industry has evolved, man. Like back in the days, you could put that kind of stuff out and nobody really cared. Now, people who read comics, man, they're like, yo, I want a good story. Like, I want to pay for a good story. I don't want just pretty pictures. You know what I mean?
I was watching another podcasting group. It just came off my radar. It said the title was comic events. Fans don't care about comic events anymore. And neither do the retailers. Right. So remember what was driving sales back in the 90s were those crossover events, those big comic events, Infinity Gauntlet, the X-Force crossovers, all these things that were happening. And today they're not caring so much about it because I think it seems, do you think it's because it seems gimmicky?
I think it is. I think what happens is even for example, right? The big event I remember back in the early 90s was the death of Superman. You remember the death of Superman? Oh, big event, huge event, right? Everybody's like, what? Superman's dead? And then they brought him back because you can't kill Superman. So then that event lost its luster. I think people don't believe anymore in these big events because they know it's not going to stay. It's not going to. If something major happens, they'll just change it and bring it back to normal. It'll be an alternate universe. Or it'll be, something happened that made that obsolete. And so the events lose their luster. As far as remember when they had the alternate covers, like, you know, you had like 15 alternate covers or something like that. And we see that a lot in Kickstarters now. But that those were events back in the days. And I just think that, people buying comics at the retail level, at stores, I don't think that they care about that stuff anymore. Like, Todd still does it, you know? The story is flat as a washboard. It's like an R-rated Saturday cartoon. If a comic has great art but no engaging story, the reader has nothing tangible to hold on to and make them want to see more.
Yeah.
It's true. And speaking of that, Chris, you read a lot of manga and stuff like that. And some of those stories, bro, their stories are off the hook. Yeah. Like compelling stuff that you just read and you're like, holy cow, who came up with this kind of stuff? So there's a lot of competition, man. There's a lot of competition.
But I think a lot of it has to do with the love of the game and a love for your character, or is it just work? Right. So what's happening is you have corporate dictating the direction of a brand, a title, whatever. And then you have to facilitate that, right? You have to go in and just make sure you meet those criteria. So it's work. You're getting a check to write and you're getting a check to draw. How much of a vested interest you have if you're not the creator of the characters, but you're just collecting a check to really go in because you really, truly love that character. So, I mean, it's like you have to be a lover of Iron Man if you want to write and really give Iron Man, you know, it's just dues. And I think that's where it comes from. You know, I think, it, you know, when it's being dictated by money and hitting quotas and, you know, you really have a vested interest.
Yeah. I've read stories. Yep. This is why I wanted to talk about East versus West. I've read stories about like writers, like established writers who refused to put their name on books because they knew that whatever they had written was now changed in the editing process. The editor in chief of that particular comic said, no, that we're going to change that. It's not going to be that. And he was like, well, then don't put my name on it because that's not what I wrote. Because it does affect the writer, because we blame the writer for that bad story. We don't blame the editor in chief. You know what I mean? We don't blame the artist for a bad story. We blame the writer for a bad story. So it puts the writer in a tough situation because, like you said, these corporate people or whoever it is, the powers that be, want to sell comics and they think that gimmicks, events are going to sell them.
Or
it's really the story that sells it.
Or, you know, there's a flip side to this. They're really not really concerned about comic sales because it doesn't generate profit. It's helped to just promote the IP. It's just another means to promote the IP to a smaller collective because the bigger revenue is coming from licensing films and merchandising. So they're they're not putting all their weight into the actual floppies because it doesn't generate revenue.
Yeah, exactly. It also plays into knowing your demographic and being able to fine tune your work. The West kind of limits what you can and cannot do in terms of political correctness, wokeness, et cetera. It does. I mean, a lot of these companies, I think, are kind of trying to appease everybody, you know, try to play it safe and that kind of thing. But going back to your point about floppies and single issues and stuff like that, those things, I think companies always look at those as, let's just give them away because they're not really going to make us any money. You know what I mean? You pay for an ad in that book and that ad paid for the printing. So let's just put it out there. Remember when you go to conventions, sometimes you'll get free number ones. They don't care. They just give them away. Yeah. The money for them is in all the other stuff.
Yeah, Free Comic Book Day is just a way of getting rid of stuff and just putting a logo on it.
Yeah, which gives off a vibe of being generic. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, we can dive into the conversation about what's wrong with the comic book industry for sure, dude, for sure. But no, so why don't we go to a little bump, Sammy? Take a little break. It's the ninth. It's the half hour mark.
It's the half hour mark.
Show some love to somebody.
Yes. So you got a minute to go and get yourself a cup of coffee, run to the bathroom, throw some water in your face. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about arrogance versus confidence. Ooh. That's going to be a lively discussion. And here's a little promo from Deuterius Uranius.
Hi, I'm Samuel. And I'm the creator of There's an Alien in My Toilet, issue number 2, coming to Kickstarter. I'm so excited about this series. It's filled with variant covers, homage covers. And not only that, you get the guidebook, you can get the coloring book, and also the back issue variant covers from issue 1 if you missed that one. But not only that, I'm excited about the activity book. This one is filled with how to draw duty characters, puzzles, mazes, trivia questions, and so much more. But that's not all. I'm introducing Volume 2 of the trading card game. And this one has the element cards, the level 1 cards, the villain cards, the hero cards, and so much more. But then you can also get the stickers. If you missed out on the sticker pack, here's your chance to get as many stickers as you want of some of the most adorable characters from the book. I'm so excited over the years that I've received so many critic reviews, especially the newest one from Mary Dumas from Pop Culture Place, who purchased 5 copies for her store, and she recommends it to every parent that comes along. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate you, Mary. So, I hope that you all come back and support Disney Alien My Toilet issue number 2. And for all you physical backers that backed us on issue 1 and you're coming back for issue 2, I have a special gift for you. This amazing refrigerator magnet of Super Duty as he does battle against the diabolical egomaniac overlord nemesis Poo Poo. And that's my way of just saying thank you to every one of you. So if you haven't done so already, please sign up. And when we go live, make sure you pledge. I appreciate every one of you. Have a great day.
Have a great day. There's been some chatter while we were on break. So
bring them up.
Jerry says, I'm sorry, a little lost about East versus West, a comic book, and that's a tactical error to sleep on Jujins. You'd be surprised how Jujins, mangas, manhwas, dungwas versus Western comics. Oof.
Jesus.
Okay, okay. He's okay.
There you go. Yeah,
yes,
I mean, I got nervous for you, Sam, trying to read all that stuff.
I know.
The pronunciations.
She's writing some stuff. I'm like, oh, man, I got to go work on my
your pronunciations.
Yeah. Like, oh, no bueno. But yeah. So if anybody watched the Crazy Intel lesson Monday, basically the conversation was about, you know, perception of arrogance versus confidence. And how one can be perceived as the other, vice versa. So, you know, I gave some examples on how overconfidence can create the perception of arrogance, can create isolationism, right? It can really separate you from the pack because of that drive to succeed. You forget about others and not understanding the impact that you have because of your ambition.
Sorry, Dujins are single. Okay. Yeah. Shot mangas. Interesting.
Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah, no, thanks, man. So, yeah, no, I think that there is a huge difference between arrogance and confidence, right? Because I think you can be confident without being arrogant. I think that there's a thin line between the two, but I think you can do it. And we were talking about this even after the fact. And, like, the example that I gave is, you know, and you were talking about when you were doing the video about, you know, here's this, say, for example, executive or whatever, who has to get something done. And he just takes the bull by the horn and says, okay, guys, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do this. And this is what's going to work. And he finds success in that. And sometimes people look at this brown noser. But I think what happens is that person is confident. Right? That person who takes the bull by the horn, boom, come on, we're going to do this. We're going to get it done. When it turns to arrogance is after the results are positive and he gets good results, he comes back and throws it in your face. See, I told you I was the man. I told you I know what I'm doing. Like, that's the arrogant part of that example. And then that's when your team, I think, can turn on you because, like, look at this jerk off. Like, come on, we don't need that.
But see, that's action creating a result. But I'm thinking, not knowing the energy you're putting out, a person who's not as confident, a person who has aspirations, when you're taking the spotlight, that person could see you as arrogant.
Which person?
The person on your team. If you're part of a team, mm-hmm. right? And that was the example I gave. So everyone's on the same level, right? And they're brought into a room. The big dogs are like, here's what we have. You know, we need a solution. And then Johnny goes up to the, he's like, well, I got it. Hit this, we're gonna do this, this, right? And he's selling it, and the boss loves it, doesn't hear anybody else's stuff, and goes. So now everybody's like, oh, he's an asshole. You know, they're not gonna blame the boss, they're gonna blame you because you never talk to the team, you know what I'm saying? And in every meeting, you're running to the table with your solutions, not considering the others, realizing that when you leave that boardroom, you still gotta work together. So now what happens is it creates the click saying, oh man, this guy's selfish. This guy's this, he's brown nosing. Right. And it's perception. You don't think you're doing it because your intention is pure. You're going after what you want, but you can't control perception.
But that's not arrogance on your part. That's their perception. You know what I mean? Like
that's what creates the problem.
But that's a them problem. I think to me it's almost like, ever been like, remember being in school or whatever, and the teacher asks a question, right? And nobody raises their hand, but you know the answer. So you raise your hand and you answer the question, right? The kids in the room are like, oh, this freaking guy right here. He answers every freaking question. Well, nobody else is answering the question. I know the answer. I'm going to answer it. That doesn't make me arrogant. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. One can see that more as seeking validation as opposed to arrogance. Well, but seeking validation now, are you really that confident then if you're seeking validation? You know what I mean? Because I think arrogance stems from a lack of confidence when you're seeking validation. And so are you confident then? Then you're not being confident. Because if you're coming into a room, in my example, if you're coming into a room saying, see, I told you, then you're seeking validation, then how confident really were you really? You know what I mean? It's that thin line.
Well, but I think for me, the reason why I did it is because of perception and the choices you make. So are you hiding your confidence because of perception of, you know, because of others' opinions, right? And sometimes you don't realize that, you know, how many times, I mean, we've all worked in environments where we're working with others. And how many times you hear, you know who the ones who are looking for that next promotion. You know the ones because they're working hard, they're doing their work. But that's overlooked because when they're in the spotlight, there's resentment growing, and then that's the labeling. It's not on because of you're intentionally trying to avoid the click. I think what happens is ambition sometimes clouds your judgment, right? So you don't realize, wait, I still got to work with the team. I got to go back and still deliver the results together, but I'm not considering the team when I'm going after my own goals, right? There are many people that give a false five or bravado because they are seeking validation. What is the true indicator of their body language, right? So I think what happens is one of the lessons that I learned was, because I wanted to grow, and I realized that I would walk into these rooms when I was not even executive level. I was still an hourly associate. I was part of the team. That when I was going, I wasn't considering the players. And then when I seen, I was like, "What's going on here? You know, this isn't me. Well, you know, where's this coming from?" And so then when I realized, oh, that's when I said, "You know what? When I go into these meetings, number one, I'm gonna stay silent for the first 10 seconds. I'm gonna count down really slow." Give everybody else an opportunity, whoever wants to, and, you know, and let them put their plans on the table and then listen to what they're saying. Cause sometimes the best ideas are not your ideas. Right. And sometimes there might be something, and then acknowledge the person that you think has the better idea. This now creates a different impression. So they're like, oh, well, he was not really arrogant. He wasn't really a jerk. I get it. He's acknowledging me. Thank you. Blah, 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 blah. I see him differently. But because what happens, people love to paint people in different, you know, first impressions are lasting impressions, and anything can do, you can do something today and tomorrow. Now you're no longer the hero. Now you're like the villain. And it's just because of one word you chose or whatever it is. But sometimes I think what happens is people who are confident, they taper themselves because they don't want they don't want to be alienated by the click. So they're no longer as confident anymore in front of the eyes, and they change their personality to appease. I think you can still stay just as focused and confident. You just got to adjust your tactic to incorporate those that you're working with in that same manner.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think if you're confident, you're confident. Like, you know, I don't think you can hide your confidence. I don't know. It's kind of, It's an interesting discussion, because I don't think you should hide your knowledge. You know, if you're good at something, you know, you should just do what's best for the team. It's like, I love sports. If I'm a good shooter, do I stop shooting because I'm afraid that my teammates are going to be like, yo, you're shooting too much, but I'm making the basket, dude. Like, we need points. So I'm not going to stop shooting simply because you think I should stop. I'm trying to win this game. You want to win the game with me? Then let me shoot, because I can do that. You know, shoot, I'll pass you. You can pass me the ball and now you get the assist and you look good doing it too. But let's win this game together. So I don't know. I think that it is. I mean, and you've dealt with it. You've been in the corporate world. You know what that world is like. It's doggy dog. So that's a whole different animal, right? When you talk about from that standpoint and how you want to succeed in that world. I just think in general, and kids, I mean, you know, especially the smart kids in the class, don't curb your how smart you are, because you're afraid of how people are going to perceive you. I think it's
right. I don't think you need. No, I think what you need to do is you still play to win, but learn how to play with others. I think that's my message. It's like, I think sometimes you can be overly ambitious, right? And you can have a mission ahead of you. You know exactly what you want to achieve and how you want to accomplish it. I think what happens is sometimes we fail to understand the dynamics that we're in at the time and understand. So like, for instance, another example I get, that team that you're in, you might be one day leading that team. Now, if you alienated them because of your ambition, now you got to try to convince them to buy into you, and a team can make and break a leader, right? And so what I think it is, you don't change who you are. What you got to do is adjust the tactic to make sure that you empathy. You know, you're listening to others. You're working with others. You're incorporating, but you're still driving that bus. You know, and I think that's the difference. It's like, how do you not change? Because I've seen it. I've seen so many people walk into boardrooms that they were the superhero one day. Next year, you know, because of the team feedback to them, you know, that one person that goes up to them with everybody saying this about you and this and that. Now they change, and the pep in the step is gone. Their shoulders are slumped. They're not contributing as much because they're afraid of what's going to happen when they leave that room and they have to go back to the bullpen with the team. You know, and I think I think don't change your who you are. Adjust your strategy so that way you're still seen as that person that's solutions oriented, you know, goal focused, driven, but you're also valued as a team member. And I think that's where it's a fine line, because, you know, sometimes ambition, you know, can cloud you. You know, you're like, I'm focused, but you got to remember there's others around you who have just as much ambition, but might not have the same confidence or might not have the same skill level, you know? And I think that's where it becomes a fine line. And my message is, never change who you are, just adjust to understand your situation at the time.
Yeah. And to Crystal's point, where she said, so if a person is confident in their abilities and have a positive introspective evaluation, they won't care about the impressions of others. And if you are, yeah. And if you are that person, you shouldn't really care about but I understand what you're saying, Sam. Like, you kind of, like, if you're in a team setting, you have to work within the team. I think a lot of that is communication. I think you have to build a rapport with whoever it is you're working with. And haters are going to hate, man. Yes. If somebody doesn't like you, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you say to that person. If that person has made up their mind that they're going to dislike you because they know, or maybe they fear that you are better than what they can do or what they can bring to the company. So their strategy is, let me bring them down. Let me take them down a notch or whatever. They're going to do it regardless of how much you adjust to them. And so you also have to be careful, like you said, how much you adjust, because you don't want to lose yourself in trying to appease that person. Yes. Sometimes there's nothing you can do, and you just got to say, hey, I'm just going to be me then. At this point, I tried. It's not working out. This is what it is. Because at the end of the day, results is what matters, right? Mm-hmm. In anything, in the corporate world, in sports, in comics, and it's results that matter. That's what matters, is the bottom line. And so You shouldn't, you know, try to appease. I mean, if you try to appease everybody, bro, you're gonna fail every time.
There's no way you're not going to be able to. So confidence is based on your own personal evaluation of yourself. Now, arrogance actually is based on a negative introspective value, believe it or not. And we diagnose arrogance as bona fide psych disorder. Yes, we actually have a diagnosis for that. you know, and I think what happens is, unfortunately, you know, one of the things I on You know, I have an Instagram account. Are you crazy enough? And one of the things it says, everybody has an opinion. Who cares? It's yours that matters the most. Right. Make a decision. Let's go. Right. And I think that's basically what it is. It's like everyone's going to have an opinion. You know, I think the biggest thing is
confidence. That's confidence. Right.
That's confidence. Yeah. What's your purpose? That's number one. Understand your purpose. What's your mission? Right. And if your mission is pure, your intent is pure, and it's about personal growth, it's about development, it's the betterment of the organization that you're in. Right. You're never going to appease everybody. Just do your homework, put the work in, and stay true to who you are. Those are the three fundamentals that you need to be successful. And I think, but if you're in a team, you know, play your position to win. Like it's baseball, right? You know, when you're in the field, you have to be, you make sure you hold your own and you play the team, get the ball to the first baseman. If it went to center field, wherever it is, you got to get that ball to play to win. When you're up at bat, that's an individual sport. Now it's your performance. Hit that grand slam. Let everybody know that you're a slugger. You know, get on base every time, right? You know, make sure that your on base ratio is high. That's where you excel, and that's where people value you, right? But then you got to remember, you still got to go back in the field. So I think that's the biggest thing. Understand the dynamics. Don't change the fact that you're ambitious and you've been working hard to hit that ball every time. You don't want any strikes. You want to make sure your average is up because your pay increases. But in the field, play nice.
I think you just don't alienate your teammates. Don't right. alienate anybody. You know, like, and it's like the example of that baseball player that goes up to bat, right? Like, you have to hit the ball, dude. Like, don't strike out just because, hey man, maybe I'm hitting this ball too hard, or my teammates are saying, yo man, you always go up and just show off, always trying to hit home runs. Maybe I need to, you know, strike out a couple of times so these guys can accept me. No, dude. Go up there and hit the home run, bro. We need the runs. They'll understand. At the end of the day, they'll understand that.
Or it could be winning, you know. Taking that example, but flipping it, it could be not that you're hitting the ball too much, but maybe because the press is only interested in you. There's a bunch of other us. No one's talking to. They're always talking to you, and then you start avoiding the press because you want to appease your team. Yeah. Continue to play to win, and you'll be acknowledged for it, and be a great team player and help them get to the championships. At the end of the day, the results are going to speak for itself, and the people will adjust because they're going to realize it was the insecurities that they had about themselves, and that they were basically imposing on you, and they're going to realize, well, I was wrong. You know, this guy's really in it to win it, and we're here because of this guy's efforts. I'm going to stop my bullshit. You know, I think that's, you know, I think over time work ethic will shine through.
Wasn't that, like, bringing it back to comics, wasn't that the biggest thing that people hated about Stan Lee, was that he was always
in the press?
Yeah. Everybody was talking, and even today, like, people credit him with a lot of stuff that he maybe didn't do, but they credit Stan the man because he was the one that, but he was the one willing to face the press.
He was all the other guys,
other people were just like, I'm happy just doing this. And so when the press came looking for somebody to talk to, Stan's like, I'll do it. I'll talk. You know what I mean? And so that created that divide, and people hated on Stan
Steve for Jobs. It.
But exactly. But sometimes you have to do that, because look at what Marvel then went, you know, because of him, or even like you said, Steve Jobs, look at where Apple went because of those guys who stepped up and said, hey, I'll take the heat, because the press is going to praise you, but they're also going to try to knock you down the minute they can. So it's a double-edged sword when you're doing that kind of stuff. But
because of Stanley and who he was, and he was a smart businessman, he just signed an extra 20 years licensing deal with Marvel.
Something they could use his likeness, right?
Like
they
So, in the next 20 years. I mean, the guy's making money even though he's not here. So for generations to come, which is very smart.
But yeah, no, interesting topic, guys. And thank you so much for everyone who has aggressively relaxing. Yes, Stan got the spotlight, but he made everyone else in the industry.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. Sometimes you gotta take those hits, and you know, they come both ways. But
good morning, aggressively relaxing.
Yeah. yeah, no, guys, this was awesome. And this was awesome. Another really cool conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I think again, the moral of the story is, you know, don't change who you are, just understand your setting and realize that, you know, that sometimes you have to accommodate in order to win. All right. And so it's not change. Don't change. Just be mindful of your surroundings. And I think that's what it is, you know. But I don't know what I was reading an article, and that's what sparked my the reason why I wanted to talk about that subject. But if you have a subject you want us to cover next, there's no Morning Brew next week. We'll be back the week after, because next week I will be at the expo. So if you have any topics you'd like us to cover, you'd like me to bring up on the Crazy 10 LS, let me know. And we will definitely bring it up. And if you liked this episode, please don't forget to subscribe, like, share it with a friend. And if you're listening to us on the streaming services, whether it's Spotify, Pandora, Apple, head over to YouTube and hit subscribe. And when we grow, the indie community grows. We appreciate it. Oh, Jesus Christ. Subject, Crystal versus George. I got to sell tickets for that. That's a PayPal event.
Yeah. Speaking of Crystal, just real quick before we let you guys go, if you guys are going to be in any of these areas, there are some comic book conventions this weekend that you can check out. If you're going to be in the Orlando, Florida area, which is popular area around this time, MegaCon is going to be happening this weekend, the 19th to the 22nd. So go check that out. If you're going to be in New Hampshire this weekend, there's a one-day show called KidsCon in New England. So go check that out. Bring the kids. San Antonio, Texas has a one-day show, Ekman's Card Comic and Toy Show. Then Trenton, New Jersey's got a one-day show, Trenton Charity Comic-Con. Canada, Ontario, Canada. Comic-Con Revolution this weekend, 21st through the 22nd. You also have, Columbus, Ohio, Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo, Space. That's happening this weekend in Columbus, Ohio.
I always wanted to do that. Never did that.
Yeah, me too, bro. Me too. So make sure you check those out. There's quite a few over here in different areas. Poughkeepsie's got one. The Hudson Valley Comic Con is also this weekend. So if you're in New York and in Poughkeepsie, up in that area, check out the Hudson Valley Comic Con. But yeah, so there's quite a few things to do this weekend. If you're interested in heading out to any of those, check out those conventions. But that's all I got, Sammy.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, San Martino, what's up?
What up, Mike?
Yeah, and the hell was I going to say?
I don't know.
Oh, don't forget, One Deduct is 13 days to go. If you haven't done so already, support the Adventures of One Deduct and pledge today. We're trying to get to 100 backers at 94, six away from 100. And if you haven't done so already, sign up for the launch of There's an Alien in My Toilet, I See Red People, issue number 2. And this one's even funnier than the first. And it's going to be fuego. And if you know any families with kids, please recommend the book to them as well. We've got a lot of great feedback from a lot of parents about the book. And the kids are digging it and they're loving it. So I'm excited about that. And
Look at this love fest in the chat.
I know that love is in the air.
Jesus.
When cool. San Martino comes around.
Jesus.
Oh, I know, right? God. It's kind of bushy out there.
Sickening.
Yeah. Yeah, look at that. I think we need to leave those two alone. That's our cue. Turn on the spotlight. So, with that said, I'm your host of the Crazy Man Mara,
George the Dreamer Medina,
and we are out.